Today's audio-only interview is with Holly Mangold, the 2012, one of the two 2012 Olympians in the sport of Olympic weightlifting. We had planned on getting some video, just didn't seem to work out in the editing. It was all messed up. But we got all the audio, and that's the important part. Before we get into that, I want to remind you that every episode of Weightlifting Academy is brought to you by the seven deadly sins of Olympic weightlifting and how you can get past those seven deadly sins. So make sure you go check out weightliftingacademy.com and pick up your free copy of the seven deadly sins of weightlifting. It's super easy to find. All you got to do is check out the website, weightliftingacademy.com. Look at the right sidebar. It's really obvious. Sign up with your name and your email, and you will get your free copy immediately. All right, now let's get on with this show with Holly Mangold, 2012 Olympian in Olympic weightlifting. Rock on. All right, so in this episode of Weightlifting Academy, we've got somebody who is going to the Olympics. What is your name?
Holly Mangold.
All right, awesome. You were at the Olympic trials, and I watched you compete there. It was pretty awesome. Quite a lot of pretty serious female competitors there, and so you really had to pull out a big lift to be able to go. What was kind of going through your head at that moment, right before you went on?
You know, it's crazy. I thought about the trials a lot before it actually happened, but when I was there, all I kept thinking was make it, you know, like just make the lifts in front of me, just do what I had to do. And
yeah.
I knew my coach put on the bar what I needed.
Okay.
So I was just thinking, make these lifts.
I mean, that's kind of where you're at now. But I think a big interesting question is how in the world you got here in the first place. Because obviously it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it takes a lot of work to somehow find yourself on a stage competing to be on an Olympic team. When did you first get interested or exposed to Olympic weightlifting?
Well, I played football for 12 years when I was younger. And my football coach told me one day, he was like, "You're pretty strong for a female." I took it as a compliment, even though I'm pretty sure that was backhanded. And I switched over. I started powerlifting to help me with football and for track and field.
Sure.
And I had national records in powerlifting, and then I wanted, you know, I've always wanted to go to the Olympics. Like, ever since I was a child, I've always dreamed of going to the Olympics, and I found that weightlifting, you know, was an Olympic sport, and I said, all right, I'm going to switch over from powerlifting to Olympic weightlifting. And I did that about 3.5 years ago.
That's, you know, as far as Olympic weightlifters go, a 3-year time span to making an Olympic team is ridiculously fast. I mean, that's definitely so that's pretty amazing.
I'm very blessed. I was very lucky, and I had some great coaches that just really sped up the whole process.
That's pretty awesome. So when you first came into Olympic weightlifting, you said you had a powerlifting background already, and, of course, you'd been probably strength training for football, right? So then what was the transition like for you? What kind of stuff were you doing when you first came into the gym to do Olympic-style weightlifting? Like, what was your training like? Say, like, you know, just kind of throw down, like, what it was like maybe in the first month or something like that?
Well, the first month was basically just trying to forget everything I learned in powerlifting. You know, powerlifting was great because it made me strong. But unfortunately, you know, when you're starting out in this sport, it's technique, technique, technique.
Yeah.
And since I was really strong, I would just, you know, put things up there and just, you know, use my strength instead of learning the technique.
Yeah.
So I spent time, you know, just doing extremely light weights and just learning technique, because I knew that even though I could make this lift right now the wrong way, I won't be able to make those lifts when it gets heavier and heavier unless I had the proper technique. So that's basically all we did, was just play around with technique and just try to get down the lifts right without using my arms, without using my muscles that I already had, and just working on getting the technique right.
That's pretty cool. So how long did that process take, you think, before they started allowing you to put, like, weight on the bar?
Very short, because we actually, the first meet I went to, a month after I started lifting, I qualified for junior nationals.
Oh, okay.
And so 3 months after I started lifting, I went to junior nationals and I won it. So I won junior nationals, and then 2 months after that, I went to Junior Worlds and got sixth at Junior Worlds. And then, and that kind of, it's not like it gave me a big head, but it kind of made me not focus on technique as much.
Uh-huh.
So then, like, and then I was doing track in college, and I was also on the swim team in college. And I also had three majors, so I kind of, like, let weightlifting fall to the side. And still made another junior world team and made a Pan-Am team. But, you know, I didn't really start focusing and putting my whole life into weightlifting until about 2 years ago.
Okay.
I dropped out of school and moved to Savannah, Georgia to train full-time.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's fast. What were your, out of curiosity, what were your three majors?
Theology, sociology, and philosophy.
Nice.
I guess that's a read and write.
Yeah. That's a lot of reading. So when you got to, so you went to Savannah. That's interesting. And who was your coach there?
Don McCauley. I went down to go with him. My coach, Dan Bell, sent me down there because he was good friends with Don and knew that Don worked with Cheryl Hayworth, you know, I think one of the best women weightlifters we've ever had. So, you know, just it was good to work with someone that had worked with her. And so we just wanted to get ready. And then I wanted to go to the Olympic Training Center after that. So he was kind of getting me ready for the Olympic Training Center.
I see. So that was like a preparatory thing for you. And what was the training like there? What was the big things? What were the things that were different there that you were getting there that maybe you didn't feel like you're, you know, that you felt like you needed before you went to the Olympic Training Center?
Conditioning. I lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm big now, but I was huge before. So, I weighed, when I went down to Savannah, Georgia, I weighed about 390.
Okay.
And no one should weigh that. So it was a little, and, you know, people had always told me that I needed to lose some weight, and I didn't really listen to them. And then someone, my coach, Dan Bell, said, listen, you'll never make an Olympic team if you don't lose weight. And so I dropped the fork right then and there and said, I'll lose some weight.
Okay.
I guess I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, making an Olympic team is a hell of a driver, I guess.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So you focused a lot on conditioning there. Like, what kind of conditioning work would it have been?
I did a lot of, I mean, Don worked a lot with technique, but I also CrossFit workout after I was done lifting. So I was doing two-a-days with lifting, and then after each lifting practice, I would have a CrossFit workout. And then I would drive to a nearby park and probably walk a couple miles just to get the legs in motion.
That's a lot of work.
So I was working hard, and that was in the Savannah heat. So I dropped about 30 pounds in the first month that I was down there.
Damn. Okay. So that I think right there is pretty fascinating. A lot of people who watch this show are they do CrossFit also.
CrossFit is just fun. It's another way to compete. And when I retire from weightlifting, CrossFit is definitely going to be a number one form of me working out and losing weight, because then I loved it. It was fun.
I got to say, that's a lot of work you put in. I mean, I know combining weightlifting and CrossFit at the same time can definitely take it out of you. So that's a hell of a lot of work you put in. That's pretty amazing. Twice a day, but one of them is a CrossFit workout. That's big.
Yeah. I mean, it was great because Don McCauley set me up in his house.
Okay.
I really had nothing to do besides work out. So
nice.
It was I was set up with a great situation, and it was nice. Awesome. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun work. It was fun.
Okay. Cool. So when you you went there, you lost some weight, you got your conditioning up, you also worked on your technique and things like that. When you shifted over and went to so you say you went to the Olympic Training Center after that, is that right?
Right. I became a resident. I only went down to Savannah for about a month and a half, and then I became a resident at the training center.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay, cool. So when you shifted over there, who was your coach there?
Mm-hmm. Zygmunt Smolcerts, the national head coach, had just come there.
Right. Okay, and when you got there, how did things then shift in your training? So you had been doing these twice a days, lots of technique work, some CrossFit work and conditioning. What changed when you went to the Olympic Training Center?
Well, I felt really good because I had lost like 30 pounds, and I felt like very happy. And the first day I got here, Zygmunt looks at me and goes, "Oh, big body, must change." And so, yeah, I realized that my weight loss journey was not over yet.
Okay. And,
he never even called me Holly. He just called me Big Holly all the time. And so while I was at the training center, I lost 50 more pounds in the I was there. I ended up total weight loss in about like 4.5 months. I lost about 90 pounds.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so yeah. It was kind of crazy. It was definitely needed, but we also worked on a lot of technique. I was still doing 2 days. I did, we would have 2 days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We'd have 1-a-days, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Okay.
And then Tuesday and Thursdays and Saturdays, we had what he liked to call active rest, which okay. to me was still another workout. But
yeah.
You know, it was fun. We'd go out and play games, pick up football. We'd play some volleyball. You know, okay. I'd be on the elliptical. It was fun.
That is fun. So you had, let's see, was that about 9 training sessions a week that were more specific to the Olympic lifting? But then you also had, you know, just going out and screwing around.
Right. And then in those trainings, we'd have like 6 exercises of training practice.
So each session of those 9 sessions, you had 6 exercises.
Yeah, anywhere from 4 to 6.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did more volume than I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
Supers usually do. We like to stick around 2s, you know, uh-huh. and 3s.
Right.
Ben had me doing like 3s to 4s on almost everything. Sure, remember sure. one time he had me do like let's see what he had. He had snatch from hip, snatch from the hang position below the hip, and then snatch from the knee, and then snatch from below the knee, and then snatch from the floor, all without putting the bar down yet. So those were a nice little exercise in and of itself.
So how long would each of these sessions have been as a rule, like the 9 had?
They go anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours.
Okay.
On how long I need in between each set. So, yeah. I love our sport because literally we work for a little bit and then we get to sit down and rest. So it just depended how long I sat there and rested.
That's exactly why I love it. I actually have literally on more than a few occasions eaten an entire sandwich from Subway between sets on the squats.
I say, why not?
Yeah, that's interesting. You're totaling in, you know, anywhere from 2.5-3 hours to 5-6 hours in a day of training. I think the average person is going to look at that and go, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
How are you not dead?
Crazy. But, you know, we had such great, I mean, being at the training center is like an athlete's haven.
Yeah.
You got everything you could possibly need and people that want to help you. So, you know, it's great to be here, and your only care and worry was to work out. I mean, it's our job.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was very nice.
That's pretty cool. So what is life like then there at the Olympic Training Center? I mean, you said, so you guys have do you live in a dorm there, or how does it work?
Yeah, I would say very glorified, like it's a very nice dorm.
Okay.
It's, if you're a resident athlete, you're usually in a dorm with one other person. You've got your own room, and then you've got a common area, and then they have their own room, and then you each have your own bathroom with your own showers. So it's actually nice. It's nicer than any dorm room I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's much more like just an apartment. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and then how about your meals and things? How's that?
Yeah, I mean, the meals are fantastic, and I think that's what really helped me lose the weight is that they cook everything. They don't cook with a lot of butter. Everything's cooked very healthy. You always have extremely healthy choices. They always have fresh fruit.
Yeah.
They always have, like, you know, great peanut butter. I used to love having a snack of like peanut butter on apples and and you could go to the calf as many times as you want. So I wasn't eating 3 meals a day. I was actually eating 4 to 5 meals a day.
Okay.
Just really small. So, and the food's fantastic. So it's just really great.
That's really cool. Do you have much interaction with athletes outside of Olympic weightlifting?
Oh yeah. I mean, you see people in the gym so much that you kind of want to find some other sports that you can hang out with too. And I've bonded with most of the wrestlers. I mean, wrestling is very big out here at the training center.
Okay.
And my roommate at the time was a wrestler. So I pretty much latched onto her and hung out with all of her wrestler friends.
Well, that's it. So you've been there at the training center now for how long?
Well, I was only at the training center for 3 months.
And
I was not invited back because I bombed out at American Open.
Okay.
I like to say kicked out, but technically I was not invited back.
That's more hardcore. Yeah.
Yeah. It gave me a lot more fire saying I was kicked out. But so I was only there for 3 months, and then I was let go or not invited back, and I needed to have knee surgery. I had a meniscus tear, so okay. I had the knee surgery in like January of last year, and I moved back to Ohio. I went to Columbus Weightlifting with Mark Canella.
Yeah.
And I was only supposed to be there to rehab, and then I was going to go back out to the training center or find another gym.
Right.
And I just fell in love with Mark and his coaching style and my training partner that was there, and I stayed with them all the way until now I'm still with them.
Yeah, Mark's a really cool guy.
I never would have made the team without him.
I think that, you know, that's something so important is not necessarily, I think a lot of people underestimate the importance of an athlete-coach relationship because it's not like you're taking a class at a college where it lasts for 12 weeks. You know, you're with this person for a very long time and for a lot of hours every day.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You got to find someone that fits with you.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky to have some great coaches, but Mark, I mean, I drive Mark nuts. Like, our personalities just do not match up. I hate schedules. I hate being tied down and knowing, like, I don't want people to tell me I got to be here at this time or that. I like, I'm more free-spirited.
Yeah.
He's more where he's got to have everything scheduled out to a T. You know, like, I drive him nuts. And I mean, he drives me nuts sometimes. But, I mean, it just works so well. And, you know, everything just, it just clicked, and it was great. And Mark has an eye for weightlifting unlike any other coach I've ever seen.
That's great.
He'll see something in my technique and be like, and watch it on film. And he's like, it was right there. Did you see it? And I'm like, no. And he puts it in like slow-mo, and then I can see it.
Okay.
Like, you're just a freak. Like, I don't understand how you see that.
That's pretty good eyesight, yeah.
Yeah.
So you feel like Mark's coaching style in a lot of ways complements the things you felt like you were lacking, maybe?
Yeah, you know, he
brings together that.
I needed a lot of – I'm a needy athlete, and okay. I feel like a lot of elite lifters are very needy athletes. And he wasn't used to having a needy athlete, and so I kind of broke him. And then he also broke me from my neediness. Like, the first meet I did without him there, I think I was having, like, a panic attack. And he was just like, calm down. You know what to do. Like, stop freaking out.
Yeah.
And so now I've competed in, I think, 3 different meets where he wasn't there. And I still won the meets and still won the, you know, the prize money and did what I needed to do. So
right.
He's helped me grow as an athlete. And I know I've helped him grow as a coach. So
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's what you want to see. You know, like, I really love that. You mentioned a little bit like the panic attack before a meet, and this is definitely something that's the most common as you're getting started, but it can continue to happen. Just the fear of, am I going to be able to do what I do in the gym in front of an audience, in front of judges and things like that? Do you have any, like, how do you feel like over time you've gotten better at the act of competing itself?
Well, one of the big things is, you know, I had to learn after I bombed out at American Open. It was my first bomb out. You know, I'd never done that before, and it really destroyed me because I'm like, I used to always, I never do in the gym what I can do in a meet. I'm always hitting 10 to 15 kilos more in a meet than I actually am in the gym because it's weird, but I'm a meat person. Like, I like, I mean, I guess it's good.
Yeah, like, that's really good, yeah.
I like 15 kilos more in the gym, but I realized that I'm a very talkative, outgoing person, and I really like to have fun and do stuff like that. And I had to rearrange my whole way of competing because you have to realize that when you're competing, you have to be in your own box. You have to be in your own little world. You can't let anyone in. You can't watch other people while they're lifting. You can't worry about what your competition's doing. Can't do anything like that. You just have to focus on you and do what you're doing. And that's really true when it comes to weightlifting, because we're such a individual sport that, I mean, you have to be focused on you. So I spent a lot of time working on my mental, you know, making sure I had my competing down instead of, you know, just lifting. Because I knew I could do the lifts that I needed to do. It was the whole learning how to compete and do it right and all of that stuff.
That's really fascinating. The mental side of things, what do you feel like there were things you did specifically to help with the mental attitude?
Well, I talked. My training partner, Drew Dillon, he also is a weightlifter and lifts with Columbus Weightlifting.
Okay.
I found that I held a lot of things in, like my nerves for a meet or nerves for a practice or anything. I held it in a lot. And so what I did is Drew and I would talk almost every night and just let me spill out what I was thinking, what I was feeling, how did that day go, how did training go, and that really helped me. Helped me, you know, start thinking over everything that happened and just working on how do I fix it. And then also, I mean, I have this ritual of doing a cartwheel before every meet, and that really helped me out. And I know it sounds really weird, but I mean, it's kind of like baseball. We all have our own superstitions, and do that. I also have to listen to two songs, and they're not like pump up songs. I'm not listening to Metallica because I'm already too pumped up. I need to calm down.
Celine Dion isn't.
Not really that, but I listen to "Dog Days Are Over" by The Machine or something like that. I forget what their names are, but I listen to that song, and then "Yes" by LMAOFO, one of those. And then also some Bob Marley if I'm really feeling it. Just need to calm down and relax and realize that everything's going to be all right. I've trained for this meet for a long time, and I know I can do it. So, also making sure I have the headphones in, not looking at other people, not really worrying about what else is going on around me.
Right. That's pretty interesting. You feel like your nerves have to be toned down quite a bit. I know there's some people who maybe have a hard time hyping up. Maybe they like hip-hop or something like that, you know, get themselves going.
I'm so hyped that it just, that would only hurt me.
Yeah.
You have to be controlled. Explosiveness controlled.
Right.
So I just have to control my excitement and my ready-to-go-ness.
Yes. That's a word, by the way.
Yeah. I like to do that, too, making my own words.
Well, you know, three majors and a lot of books, that's going to lead to that. So touching on this idea of controlled explosiveness or controlled, you know, intensity, I think that's almost like a great just way of describing the sport itself in a lot of ways.
Right.
Everyone needs
control. No one likes
you're going full bore. So I like this idea of thinking of the sport as controlled explosion, as you said, not just in your mind, but it happens with your body and the whole bit. Do you feel like one of those two? I know sometimes people will start out one way and then they'll kind of shift. Like I have a guy who's started out in powerlifting, but really now I would think of him more as a technical lifter than like a strength brute guy. It's kind of weird. He made this weird mental shift and it's kind of flipped. Do you feel like that's happened for you more, or do you feel like you've blended them really well, or do you still feel like the thing you feel the most naturally suited for is the explosion part and you're constantly reining yourself in? I know some lifters are the opposite. They're like super technical and they're always trying to like, you know, build that strength and get stronger.
I think I'm still in the process of trying to get more technical. I'm way stronger than the lifts I'm doing right now.
Okay.
I mean, my strength is ridiculous. So much. I find it makes me so mad when I have to squat because my squat is 225 kilos, and I used to do sets, and that's, I haven't maxed out a long time. Whenever I do squat, I'm usually doing doubles with 200 for a set of three. And it's just so frustrating because my lifts are not close to that.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the point of doing that? But my coach, you know, he still hammers on to me. You still got to work it. It's not like it's going to be there. But, I mean, I'm moving more towards technique, and I'm definitely doing a lot better job of it. I mean, if I look at some of the first videos of me lifting, I looked god-awful, like, terrible. Like, I shouldn't even be allowed to lift. It was awful. Like, it was pure. It was more a reverse curl than, like, a clean.
Yeah.
And it was bad. So, I mean, I'm definitely a lot more technically good, I guess. But I definitely, the strength is, I have a lot of strength. And I just need to work on the technique a lot more.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think that probably more relates to the majority of Americans who get into Olympic lifting. You know, like in a lot of other countries, you get people who start out at 8 years old, and so they're working technique for 10 years before they get strong. In America, as a rule, everybody's switching from something else. Like you switch from powerlifting and football, and that's actually fairly normal. You know, these kinds of sports, wrestling for guys, you know, track and field. Like Sarah Robles, you know, she came in from track and field.
Right.
And so having a lot of just extra strength around seems to be the norm, but the technical stuff's pretty hard. I think what's cool, though, is that you're already at the level you're at after only 3 years. So when, even if you feel like, well, if you're comparing yourself to someone who's 10 years in or more, 20 years in, if they start at 8, because now you're actually lifting similar weights now on the platform, the reality is you're 3 years in on technique versus their 10 or 20 years in on technique. You just have to be strong enough to be able to keep up with them. It must be nice in some sense to have that feeling like, well, shoot, I've got a lot of range to grow here in increasing my snatch and clean grip, even if I never got stronger on the squat again.
It is really nice. It's nice to know that I've got a lot of room to grow, and it makes me think that I definitely want to at least put in another 8 years.
Yeah.
It's very exciting, but frustrating. Like, I wish I had just started earlier, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to push my little sister into weight. Like, she's 12. Like, the perfect age to start. She won't do it. It's very frustrating.
How's that working? Is she thinking about going?
No, she's not going to do it. Not at all. No. She's built just like me, though. So she's strong as a house, and she won't do it. But, you know, you can't force someone to do something they don't want to do.
Yeah, that's true. Who knows? Maybe she'll get into it later when she's 15. And then she'll be like, why didn't I listen to my sister?
Exactly. I'm always right. So.
Let's see. We're really getting pretty close now to the Olympics. What are you doing right now in training to prep yourself for the lead-in for the big show in London?
You know, right now I'm just working on technique. Like I said, my strength is already there. I know I have the strength to do the lifts that I need to do. What I need is technique, and my coach and I are just working crazy on technique and sending me out to the training center every once in a while to get the nice rehab and work with Zygmunt and, you know, work around. You know, the best thing about the training center is there's a lot of elite athletes here, getting that mentality, getting that spirit, that drive, but mainly just technique. Like, I won't even go that heavy because I'm just working over and over again, reps and reps on technique, because that is my downfall. I am not as technically proficient as other lifters. So I'm trying to cram in a whole bunch in the next 3 months.
What are the kinds of technique exercises that are like main tools you guys use a lot?
Well, with me, I now do a lot of box work. Box work. I never used to do that. And I'm doing that now just to get my, you know, going under the bar faster and, you know, just feeling the weights at different, you know, levels and stuff like that. And I do a lot of, Zygmunt has me doing a lot of drop snatches and, or a snatch balance, if you will. And just a lot of working with different parts of the lifts and isolating different muscles that need to be worked. And my back is actually really weak compared to the rest of my body.
Okay.
So I'm doing a lot of rows and doing a lot of stuff where I'm starting with my back already in an arched position. You know, that's where the box work comes in and trying to hold that back position throughout the whole lift.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a lot of reps, and you know, I'm a super, so I like to do just one, but now I have to do like threes, which is not fun for me.
Yeah, I don't like anything above one. It's hard to count past two, quite frankly. That's great. Well, that's exciting. So I'm gonna let you go. I'm excited for you, and I'm looking forward to watching you compete this summer. Congratulations.
Sam and I are gonna do a great job representing our country and our sport. So I'm really pumped for it. It should be amazing.
Cool. Well, thanks, Holly.
All right. Thank you.